Okay, 520 on ESPN, 1530 on Mo Egger. We've spent a lot of time over the last month talking about the draft, obsessing over Hunter Green, and talking about Reds' trade deadline possibilities. And I was thinking late last week that somebody who's more qualified than anybody to talk about all those things, from what the Reds did in the draft to giving us an in-depth scouting report of Hunter Green to maybe giving his perspective of what might happen or what should happen on Friday or before Friday, is Keith Law, who covers baseball for The Athletic, not just writing about prospects, and he has done a ton of work leading up to and in the aftermath of the draft, but he also has a podcast, The Keith Law Show, which is available at theathletic.com, and he's always nice enough to join us a couple of times a year. It's good to have you. Let me start with what you did in ranking the top 50 MLB prospects here midway through the 2021 season. I don't think, to anybody's surprise here, you had Hunter Green not just in the top 50, but you had him ranked in the top three. Now, as you might imagine, with the Reds needing bullpen help, we've talked about him a ton, and I'm going to ask you about that. But do a deeper dive for me. Has he this year, has his performances this year at both levels exceeded your expectations?
No, I would say this is about at expectations. And I'm glad that when he was dominating Double A early, they chose to just move him up quickly, get him to Triple A. And of course, his first Triple A start, I think he gave up 4 home runs. That turned out to not be a harbinger of anything, but maybe a nice little wake-up call. It's, hey, there's still stuff to work on. We know you throw 102, 103, and that's fantastic, but there's going to be a lot more to it, a lot more work to do before Hunter's ready to be a big league starter. And I think he can do it. I've talked to Hunter. You probably have at some point, too. I have very little doubt in his ability to make adjustments, and certainly in his work ethic. But at the same time, he has to be challenged, and something has to force him to do that. And the number one concern, I think, not just me, but everyone's had on Hunter Green, is that even though he throws extremely hard, his fastball doesn't have a ton of life or movement, and he has to be able to mix it up with other pitches. And working on those secondary pitches has been since day one, and I think continues to be, the main developmental priority for him. And for him to be a big league starter, which I believe he will, I think he's going to be a number one starter, those still have to continue to improve. They're making progress. All signs are, everything's pointing in the right direction, but he has to continue.
All right, you reference at the end of your paragraph about Hunter Green and how the Reds, they've got a bullpen that has been a mess this year. They've got the temptation that they've got to resist to bring him to Cincinnati to have him fit a role in that bullpen. If your Nick Kroll is bringing him to Cincinnati for the stretch drive, even something that's on your radar?
I'm sure it is. I'm not sure if that's the right move or not. On the one hand, I'm generally a big fan of breaking in young starting pitching prospects in the bullpen. That goes back to Earl Weaver. It can be a great way to get them their first major league exposure. They don't have to turn a lineup over multiple times. You often can use those guys in lower pressure situations. That is very different than calling someone up to help a beleaguered bullpen in the midst of a playoff chase. And I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just trying to present sort of all of the factors that can go into this. Could Hunter Green help this bullpen right now? Yes, absolutely. He would probably come in and be like a right-handed Aroldis Chapman. He's going to throw 103, maybe 104 out of the bullpen. He's going to throw a slider at 90 to 92. I don't know. It's possible he could even throw harder than that. That just seems to defy what we think of as a slider. At some point, is it just a different pitch if he's throwing it harder than anyone's ever thrown it in history? He'll be effective. But will that help his development? Will that make him a better pitcher? Will it better prepare him to be a starter for them in the future? And will it create the temptation to just say, wow, he's so good in the bullpen, maybe we should just leave him there forever? Which I don't think they would do, but we've seen that happen certainly in the past. So there are quite a few reasons to consider before just saying, hey, he can help us, let's just call him up. He's the prize, right? He is the best prospect in the system. He's the best pitching prospect they've had in some time now. They have to think long-term with him rather than short-term.
You mentioned something that, as you might imagine, comes up here often. Aroldis Chapman was brought here in 2010. They used him for the last month of the season. He really had very little impact on what the Reds were doing. They were running away with the division. He pitched in a couple of playoff games, but the Reds lost those games. But they never got back to the original plan, which was he was going to be a starting pitcher. And people have drawn comparisons between the two. And for me, I go back to that time where it felt like Dusty Baker and Walt Jocheny and everybody in the organization, nobody was on the same page in regards to what to do with him. And I kind of feel like here, everybody's kind of on the same page that if they were to bring him to Cincinnati, look, this is temporary. He is going to be a starting pitcher moving forward. I don't think that would be a major issue.
I agree with you. I agree with everything you said, and I'll add one more thing to it. I know Hunter Green wants to be a starting pitcher. I'm not sure if Haroldis Chapman actually cared whether he was a starter or a reliever. I think there certainly was a point after a little while where, remember when they sent him out to Arizona to try to stretch him out? Now he's at one of those outings. He was not good. And they ended up shutting him down with a little shoulder tenderness. That was basically the end of the experiment, right? At that point, he was just a reliever. I don't know how much he was hurt, or if he was just wearing down, slash he'd already decided he wanted to be a reliever at that point. Clearly, I mean, financially, it's worked out for him. He's made a ton of money as a reliever and probably realized, or his agent told him, hey, if you stay in this role, you're going to be, you know, the hardest throwing reliever we've ever seen, and you're going to make a lot of money at it. And he did. Hunter Green wants to be a starter. Everyone in the organization that I've ever talked to about Hunter Green, since they drafted him, believes he's going to be a starter. So I bring that up more in the generic sense, that idea of like, oh, maybe we should leave him in the bullpen, because we've seen a lot of teams do that. In this case, I don't think they would fall prey to that temptation, even if he comes up and pulls. I was thinking of David Price in 08, was it, for the Rays, mm-hmm. where he came up at the very end. I mean, he'd only been drafted a year earlier. They brought him up at the end just as a reliever. He did have some impact for them. They got to the World Series, but the plan all along was to make him a starter, and they never, ever veered from that.
I also feel like, and there's other guys I want to talk about. Hunter Green, mm-hmm. you talked about spending time with him. I've been lucky enough to chat with him twice, once in person. Uber mature. I mean, there's no questions.
Yeah.
And I don't know that you could have said that about Haroldis Chapman really for any of his first three or four seasons as a professional here in the United States. How close would Nick Lodolo be to being able to get big league hitters out?
Left on left right now, I think he could do it. If you wanted to have a lefty specialist type out of the bullpen, I understand the three batter minimum makes that a little less appealing. But if you wanted to do that right now, I think he could do that. I don't know about him getting many right-handed hitters out. Could he come up and you see left, right, left coming up in the opposing lineup and you have him in for those three batters? Sure. Absolutely, I would consider that. I still think the plan for him is and should be to develop him as a starter in the long term. Same thing, the messaging from the organization has been extremely consistent on him. I've never once heard anyone suggest he's anything but a starting pitcher. I happen to agree. I think he's absolutely a starting pitcher. He doesn't have Hunter Green's ceiling, but he is a starting pitcher. And if they brought those two guys up and said from the start, and I mean said to the coaching staff, said to the players themselves, this is just a taste. This is just to get you guys acclimated to the big leagues. We think you can help us win. We're going to use you like that. But know that our long-term plan for both of you is to have you in the rotation. And we are looking at this as a way to just further challenge you, continue your development after the AAA season ends in mid-September, where you get to face the best hitters you've ever faced and recognize, we know you may struggle. That's okay. We still have a long-term plan for you, and this is just another step along that process.
You, Keith Law, is with us from The Athletic. He is on Twitter, at Keith Law. You included Matt McClain, who they just drafted from UCLA, in your top 50. And so I wanted to ask about him because you seem high on him. And then I'm going through the rundown of every division. You talk about every team in every division, a series of pieces in the aftermath of the draft. You really seem to like the entirety of what the Reds did here in 2021 as a whole. So give me a couple of seconds on Matt McClain, scout him for me, and then the other guys they took. I don't want you to give away all your content that you put online, you work so hard on, but give me the one other name they took in 2021 we should be paying close attention to.
Well, McClain, it's funny because 3 years ago when McClain was coming out of high school, I wasn't a huge fan. I saw an undersized high school infielder, might end up at second base, whose primary tool was going to be his hit tool. He wasn't going to have power. He's not a great runner. He wasn't a great defender. It's just really, Arizona took him in the first round. They were just betting that he'd hit. And I didn't see it. Well, for 2 years at UCLA, or 1 year in a pandemic year, he didn't. He didn't really hit. But this year, he got stronger. He leaned out a little bit. He didn't need to lose weight necessarily. He's more fit. He looks more like a major league player, I would say, at this point. and he produced. Outside of a broken hamate bone or broken wrist, and he, even after he came back from that, he still hit, which is kind of amazing. Usually guys don't hit so well after that. And he played the best defense of his life at shortstop. I have no idea why this guy didn't go in the top 10. I was hearing rumors much of the spring he would go somewhere in the top 10. And suddenly he's there for the Reds at pick 17. I think they had to be over the moon for that. They got one of the 10 best players in the draft class. And I loved their whole approach to the draft. Right on through round 8, they were still picking guys with some kind of upside. They never at any point until probably about the 9th or 10th round did they finally say, all right, we're done now. We're just going to take some guys to fill out minor league rosters. But the fact that they could take a really polished college position player like McClain with that first pick, when they came back at pick 30, the pick they received for losing Trevor Bauer, they went the other direction. They went for upside. They took one of the best high school position player athletes in the draft class, Jay Allen, who does have some feel to hit already, which is not true of all high school hitters, certainly. But he also has athleticism. He has upside. He might stay in the middle of the field. There's a chance he's going to develop more power, while at the same time, people do like his present feel to hit. And I love that, just that combination alone. We could talk about 4 or 5 other guys they took who I liked, but to go for a really safe college position player, turn around 13 picks later, and roll the dice on some upside, to me, that's the perfect way to start out a draft. And I would say, the Reds might have had the best overall draft class, in my opinion, out of anybody.
Wow. Read more at theathletic.com. You have been involved in those meetings that baseball executives are having as the deadline approaches. And you know, granted, this could be a different conversation on Friday morning based on what the Reds do on the field right now. As you and I talked, they're 6.5 games out of first place. They're in a weird spot because they're in second place. They've got a team that has more wins than losses. At the same time, it's really hard to make up the deficit they're staring at in both races, wild card and in the National League Central. On top of all that, you do have a fan base that's kind of tired of waiting and just went through this long, massive rebuild. So there's a lot of different dynamics in play here. But just maybe on a 30,000-foot level, give me what the approach would be if I put you in charge of this franchise, where it is right now as we get closer to the deadline.
Well, I think the number one thing, you already hinted at this, the number one thing they need and could do is try to upgrade the bullpen. And in some sense, that's probably a bit easier because lots of relievers get traded at the trade deadline. You don't see a ton of impact position players, everyday position players, or you know, number one or number two starters traded at the trade deadline anymore. It's rare. It does happen occasionally, but it's certainly less common. And they can be expensive in terms of prospects. And I don't think any Reds fan wants to see them trade Green or Lodolo or can't trade McClain yet, but any of the other really highly rated guys in the farm system, you'd like to keep that core together so they can continue winning into the future. But you also have two guys you could call up to help the bullpen, we've already discussed, and maybe you trade lower-level prospects. Maybe that's a Lyon Richardson or a Tyler Callahan, other guys who are actual prospects but not in the upper echelons of the Reds system, just to try to boost the bullpen. They have some injury issues, which I know are going to also hold them back, but you're not going to replace, say, Nick Castellanos' bat while he's on the injured list, right? There's just no replacing what he provided. And to me, there's all the more reason to say, if you're Nick Kroll, we're just going to make small moves. We're going to upgrade around the margins. Our bullpen's been awful, but the rest of the team's been good. The offense has been great. The starting rotation's been pretty good. So just go and get little pieces, help the bullpen. So you are making the team better. You're improving your odds a little bit without giving up any huge products from the system. Because, again, I think that the farm system remains in very good shape. They will continue to be a contending club going forward. I would hate to see them sacrifice any of that in pursuit of what is probably a wild card spot this year.
Awesome insight, as always. Always generous with your time. I appreciate it, Keith. Thanks so much.
Yep, my pleasure.